grammar. Sister Jackie, one extra week in America, you're not looking as fresh as you did last week. Sister Jackie, last week you were looking organic. Praise the Lord. Shake up the beast into the fire. The light of God is shining in us. I have known the truth and it has set me free. So we shake up the beasts. Through all these troubles, you will inherit the kingdom in Jesus' name. Hi, students. Another week of homework. Getting ready for college. Welcome to life. Welcome to life where we have Jesus through it all. Auntie Kemi, being all around the world, you're back home, eh? That's Auntie Kemi Adeniyi. I'm waiting till you break out in a smile. I know, she just boning face. Being around the world. But here we are. And look at the guys. Let us pray. Thank you. One day at a time, the time draws near when, Lord, you will appear in the cloud, and our faith, we will see the fruit of it in person. Until then, you send us your comfort, your consolation. You've picked us, predestined us, and guide us in the way that we should go. Give us your word this morning, Lord, in due season, what we need, that we may receive by faith all we need to parry the fiery darts of Satan, that we may be standing, approved of you, blameless. Lord Jesus, we bow before your throne. I ask that it pleases you to speak through me, to your people. Lord, what you have shared with me, help me, Father, to be clear about it, Lord. Let it accomplish that which you have ordained that it will. Father, your word is more precious than anything, O God. It endures forever. It converts the heart. It heals. It opens. It enlightens. Father, please send your word to us. Open your scriptures, our heart, that we may understand your scriptures, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You remain the same forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last two, we continue to remind ourselves about the characteristic of true faith, to revive in our hearts the true values of being a Christian. The things, I think a scripture described it as the things that were once told us by the Lord Jesus and his apostle, by the prophets, reiterated to us by Christ and his apostles. We continue to emphasize the practical outwork of faith, and we call it faithfulness. Aside from the theory, aside from the words, what does it really mean to be walking by faith? Because faith is not mere words. Faith will create character and values. What are those values? To remind ourselves how we ought to conduct ourselves in the church of God, which our apostle Paul said is the pillar and the bulwark of truth. These were common things in the church. There are common expectations of someone who says they follow Jesus. These were things, not just confession of lips. As the Bible says, we should not be hearers of the word alone, deceiving ourselves, but the doers of the works. What are these works? Faith is a beautiful thing, but faithfulness is the evidence of faith. Every man of faith in the Bible is recorded because of their faithfulness. And we've been through quite a few stories in scriptures. We went through Hebrews 11 to rehash those names that we know. That Rahab did not merely believe. She took a risk, and she was rewarded for it. That Abraham was not merely called the father of faith. I mean, think about it. He was about to kill his own son for what he believed in. Name them. Joseph was not just famous. If Joseph had barely been a prophet, there were many prophets after him and before him that the Bible did not dwell in. But the character of this young man set him apart. In the time when he had the opportunity to betray the character of God, in the time of his temptation, something made Joseph. And it's because of these things that we hear about him. When he was suffering, when he was in a pit, ready to be killed, he did not know what his fortune would be. He still, when he was sold from his house, displaced from the place of privilege to be the bestie, the best child of his father, yet in slavery, this man was still talking about not offending his God. What kind of man is that? When all the promises around you seem not to be coming to pass, and still your testimony is, I dare not do something. I mean, some of us will say that if I have heard it from believers before, who say the Lord has not dealt bountifully with me, why should I be faithful? But the character of faith, as displayed by Joseph, even in jail, was faithfulness. There was just something about the people we cite and we seek to emulate. Their faith always shone the most, shined the most. Whatever. Okay. Thank you. Always shone the most when it was darkest. Just that light shines brighter in the night. What I admire in the Bible the most, actually, this is what reconciled the Old and the New Testament. Take any character in both, it was the same. They seemed to serve the Lord with an intense, with something incredibly personal. They were not talkers. The ones that were outlined in scriptures from beginning to end are people of, they were the same. The same spirit was in there. They seemed to love God in a special way. Many people in the Bible are recorded as professing the Lord God, but their character really did not. This is a story of the nation of Israel. The Bible says, my name is evil spoken of among the Gentiles because of you. They were the ones with the promise, with the light, with everything. But what God, if you took the time to read the story of throughout the what we call the Old Testament, it was God complaining and appealing that I don't see the character of faith in you. But in some elects, even in this nation that's been from the beginning of creation, an example to the whole world, you will see that within them there will be bright examples of faith. There will be many prophets, but there will be a few prophets. Remember the story of how many prophets were gathered to say and tell lies? And they did. But you find a Jeremiah who, at the risk of death, would still speak the truth. Now, what we What ought we, what kind of Christian, what ought we emulate? Is it a profession of faith or the faith that shows itself in faithfulness to Jehovah? On the day when Jesus will come, will he have a confession test? Do you believe that I'm the Lord and Savior? Yes. Or will he have a faithfulness test? The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. It's like the body without the spirit. What is a body without a spirit, brethren? Have you ever seen a corpse before? I have. They are not the same, trust me. It is disappointing. I stood in the bathroom yesterday, and I just realized that it's not proper that you're able to stand on two stilts. Is it stilts? Two sticks. They call them stilts, right? You try, just build an object and put them on and see whether it will stand. It can dance, it can move, it can do all of this on two sticks. The thing that makes I don't know the biology of it, but there's something that makes this body alive. Once you remove it, if you prop the person up, they'll fall. Prop them up, they'll fall. Same person, but there's something. There is something. I don't know whether it's two bones in the ears. I don't know, but I believe it's the breath of God in a man. That body without the breath That's like faith without, I call it faithfulness. That's what the works the Bible talks about is. You need the body and you need this to make the man. So we've been talking, and one of the most sorrowful things I believe Jesus is calling us to is to examine ourselves, right? Whether we are faithful people. We are men of faith. We confess the lordship of Jesus, but are we men of and women of faithfulness? And that's what we've been teaching. Because I believe when Jesus comes, the judgment will be about faithfulness. The question of faith was settled at Calvary. There's no other way, no other name given unto man. We can pretend there is. We can go and seek others. Some we choose the wrong way. That is settled. That conversation of faith has nothing to do with you. He has set him as the name from creation to creation as the name above every other name. That is settled. The judgment is about faithfulness. Jesus will not be on trial on that day. He'll be the judge. To be, have you received? What have you received? How have you received? And that's what we've been talking about. We read through, we didn't read through, we glanced through the book of James to get a glimpse of what some of the characteristics are that are expected of you as a Christian. You must not live a life of doubt as a Christian. James 1, verse 2 to 5 tells us, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that kind of man should not think he will receive anything of God. It's like the wind that is driven by the sea, or is it the sea that drives the wind? One of them shall. Right? They are very unstable. You can imagine, many of us have been to the beach. Right? That's a man, a Christian that is doubtful, that has not settled in their heart that God is their rock. Come life, come death. That Jehovah is theirs. It's like that thing on the beach. It just goes, woo, it washes to the land and it goes back. Washes to the land. I wonder what's this about? So the only job you have is to just woo, scare everybody, those that cannot swim, then go back. Imagine that life. No purpose. It doesn't bear fruit. It doesn't do anything. It just woo, just tossed. Right? James 1, 2, and 5 gave us that mental picture. May we not be settled in your heart. What did the psalmist said? I can't remember it. But it's something to do with in his heart, he has settled. In his heart. Job also said he has settled, whether life and death. Choose you. Whether life, whether you believe you will die. If you don't believe, you will go. Settle in your heart to lean on God. Because God does not want double-minded people. They are unstable. James taught us that a man of God and a woman of God is someone who is able to control their wrath. If temper controls you, James 1, 19 to 27 says, be slow to speak, slow to anger, and control your tongue. James 3, 10 also says that. These are things that as Christians we have to teach ourselves and practice and pray about. You don't speak everything that comes to your mouth. You don't act by anger, right? What's that word? The anger of God, of man, can never work the righteousness of God. God just does not, it's not part of the characteristic of faith to find a Christian in an argument back and forth. We are not people of wrath, we are people of peace, right? So just pray to the Lord. It is unbecoming of a Christian to wear wrath and temper, right? It never used to be part of what they knew Christians for, right? But you see, some of us are born with some, we, all of us are born with one flaw or the other. But the blood of Jesus is an opportunity to grow out of those things by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says that by the Spirit of the Lord, we will mortify the deeds of the flesh. And this really is supposed to be what a Christian preoccupation. We are not just waiting for the trumpet to sound. Every day is an opportunity to defeat Satan by embracing and putting on what the Bible calls the new man. A whole new set of characteristics that will make people around you glorify the Lord. You will be provoked, But by the grace of God, in your patience, perhaps you will minister the gospel of Jesus. The condemnation is not that we are born with some of these things. The condemnation is that we do not, through Christ, remove them. We all come with certain virtues, right? Already imprinted in our DNA. Some people are born naturally patient, but they are very stingy. I tell you, we all bring one burden or the other into Christianity. None of us is worthy. None of us. In fact, we are chosen exactly because we're unworthy. But through Christ, all of us say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is Jesus that works in us to want to and also to do what is pleasing to him. This is one thing I've found that is missing in Christianity. We are too busy congratulating ourselves on how wonderful a people we are. It used to be that nobody cared how wonderful you are in Christendom. Everybody was looking to how to improve and get better because the trumpet will soon stand. What I say it will stand. I haven't eaten this morning, pardon me. I took coffee and I'm a little. Wife, are you going to challenge your husband? Are you going to challenge your husband in that area that you know that Jesus will ask him to pray, to love your husband to that virtue until we come to what? The fullness of the stature of Jesus. Paul did not say, my children over whom I traveled, I'm so happy and settled for. He said, until Christ is fully, that is our business. Our business is to help one another to get better. You are not my friend if all you have for me are the praises for me, and you know there are things in my life I can do. In fact, only a true friend can talk to you about areas in your life you need to improve. How can your child have an exam coming and you're focused on the area of the syllabus that they already have right? And but there are areas of that syllabus that she has not covered. How many of you will say, oh, you have already read 6 out of 10 chapters? Well done, you can go to bed now. Well, at least there are children who have not even read 4. None of you will do that. You encourage. If we can put that much effort into bettering our lives or at our workplaces, if you have reportees and you are doing their annual performance assessment, do you focus only on the things they've done well? In fact, we call it areas of improvement. Those are the areas that now I'd like you to focus on this. Well done. You've done well in this. But I need you to focus on 1, 2, 3 points. And that is when you see, in fact, that's where the attitude of a true employee comes up. You see, I've seen all kinds. You see some who will receive it. In fact, some will solicit it. There are some that I don't have anything to say, and they ask me, so what do you think I should be working on this quarter? Well, okay, so what are your goals, personal goals? And they say them to you. And you say to them, okay, all right. In order to get here, this is what those who are in that particular place that you want to head, this is what they are doing now. You have done well for your current position, but it's now time to rise to the next level. So that when I sit down with you next, I'll be able to write a recommendation that will help you get to that point. Those are those who have ambition. It's the same in our Christian walk. Until Jesus will come and give reward to every one of us, according to the works of his hands, it is our job to encourage one another today, while the day is called. And this is why this topic of Christian faithfulness is important. James said we should lay aside every filth and every superfluity of naughtiness. These are things that in the old Christian fellowships they will look out for. Is there a filth in this sister? Is there a superfluity of not? Sorry, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just myself when I preach. I wish I could just stand here so I don't distract from what I'm saying, but that's not my nature, and I'm with my family. Is there a filth? Sister Bella, how many times do I stand before you telling you how great a person, Sister Bola? Sister Bola, telling you how great a person you are. How many? It's not it's a question. Thank you. We already know she's great. I've known her for about 3 decades. How many times do I stand before you telling you, this area? Do you think I hate you? Yeah. We're looking forward. The Bible says we should forget the things that are what? And look what? To what? Towards a what? High calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's the next part? Be not conformed to the world is another one, right? Right? Please, brethren, I don't want to. I pray that the Lord will help us every week to get better. Because it's so easy to get so busy with living, we're not preparing for His coming. You know, I'm always frightened by that passage that says that that trumpet will sound very suddenly. And it is the day that it sounds that some people will start struggling to prepare. And it will be too late. Say, so some will hide under a rock. Christ gave the example. He said, it's on that day that some will say, Lord, did we not? Did we not? Did we not? But it will be too late. Christian character matters. I have some stats, not stats, but the general perception is that the biggest hypocrites are found within the church. It's a perception that's, if that never, 30 years ago, nobody could say that. Do I lie? Pastor told me to say that. Where I shall go? Anyway, Sister Folake, Sister Tola, Grandma, years ago, could anybody say that Christians are the worst hypocrites in the Christian culture that you used to know? No, they were reverent. Reverent was not a title. Reverent was a description of a character of a man of God. Forgive me, I will speak my language a bit. They call them Eniowo, means the reverent one. And if you know, I don't think I used to know reverends who are scandalous. Did we? It wasn't, there would be, but it wasn't the norm. Now it's the norm. It wasn't the norm. When you entered a party, everybody hid their alcohol in those days. Now they pop their alcohol and anyone is there. The light is no longer shining. They say in the church, we are the biggest hypocrites. It's funny. We used to argue. Now we agree with it. In fact, young women here, I've heard recently as I've been speaking to young women within the church, marriageable age over the years. They said to me that the worst place to get a husband is within the current day church. Because they are wolves disguised as sheep. They say Christian husbands are no better than Gentile. In fact, Gentile husbands are better. Kill us all. By the way, it's not just even wives. So women, don't flatter yourselves. Men also have the opinion of you. This thing is a spirit, it's not gender. And I was wondering why? Why? Until I started seeing the evidence that it really is true. The world is like, but faithfulness, it's a superfluity of naughtiness. Little things that are naughty. For the fear of God, let's put them aside. Let's watch what we watch. Watch how you speak. Watch who you watch what you allow into your soul. Put away every filthiness and every superfluity of naughtiness. Let's warn one another in the name of the Lord. James said in the church there should be no partiality. We should not look at one person as more important than the other. The characteristics of faith. James talked in James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. It talks about meekness of wisdom. It should not be self-seeking. And we preached a whole sermon about what it means not to be self-seeking. A Christian is truly humble, does not seek his own, and many other traits. Pride within the church. And we're going to talk briefly about humility today and resisting the trappings of wealth. Someone should please read for me from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. We'll read from verse 5 to 10. And I'm going to set why this characteristic is very important. You know, it's possible for you to escape from the pride of worldliness, and then you fall into spiritual pride. It's real now. Actually, the pride of worldliness is easy to deal with. Spiritual pride is the one that is tough. And that is reigning today. And every time we talk about humility, we always talk about humility from the perspective of our culture. A humble man to us is a man that does not talk and does not bite. A mumu. You don't know what mumu is. Sister Jackie, do you know what mumu is? All of those African movies that you watch. They fake mumu-ish. Okay, let's bring it back home. In our Christian culture, the humble man, I don't see that humble man in the Bible. What does it say? Younger people, please submit yourself to your elders. First, let's teach the foundation, the basics from God's word. We live in a culture where younger people are no longer expected to submit to their elders. All my children here, please, when you see an adult, if you want to follow Jesus, greet them. When you are sitting down and you see an older woman or man, stand up, let them see. When you honor them like that, you honor the Lord and you will live longer. This is our culture. Faith, as you young people, is not just whether you read the Bible or come to church or not. It's the character of humility in you. This is how you differentiate yourselves from the world. You may not prostrate. If you come from a culture that the expression of respect is prostrate, prostrate. If you come from a culture that is handshake, do handshake. It doesn't matter whether you prostrate or handshake, it will show whether you respect someone in authority or not. The Christian faith does not allow you not to respect authority. And we must teach ourselves and our children this. Let me settle this. There's a situation where some people want to be called father and mother in the Lord. I beg you, call them what they want you to call them. There's no, don't pick fights. Jesus will not pick fight over. Let's pick the fights that matter. If a man wants me to call him mother, I will call him mother. It doesn't take anything. No, sorry, not man. I mean woman, not man. New Covenant Church, let's show genuine heart. At least you call your parents mother and father. So if you see an older woman that wants you to call them mommy. There's no fight in that one. Why would you want to pick? Let's pick fight over doctrine, over real things, all of those little things. I know there may be situations where you're in a position where doing it may destroy God's work to others who are watching you. Just make sure you have a good basis. Don't do it because, who does she think she is? That's not the attitude of Jesus. If you want me to call you Bishop, Bishop Mrs. As long as we sing together, dance together, maybe that's the way I will help your faith. I don't want, the Bible says we should not provoke one another. If Sister Jackie wants me to call her Auntie Jackie, then Auntie Jackie. Maybe that's where she is. Why should I be the one to provoke Auntie Jackie to anger? The humility of Jesus. May the Lord grant to us his wisdom in dealing with things. New Covenant Church, there's a wisdom. I pray the Lord will work in our souls so that we'll do for the sake of Jesus. I don't know how to preach it, but it shows in many instances. Look, there are no fast rules here. There might be situations led by the Spirit that you can't do this, but the Holy Spirit will understand, will explain it to you, and the results will show. Submit yourselves to your elders. Don't provoke the elders. There's a way you can help. If someone says, "Oh, I've labored in the Lord, and you're a small boy, and you have not done anything," Jesus knows what you have done. How are you? But if he now tells you not to serve Jesus, that's where we will fight. If he tells me to call him God, because I cannot point to a verse, but I cannot point to a verse that says that I should not call someone father. I know there's one that says we should not ask to be called father. I know that one. That's what I'm saying. It says, call no man father in the Lord. Okay, once you can point to that verse, then make sure it's because of that verse, so not because you have a giddy in your heart. Do you get what I mean? Because we call grandma, grandma. Then we see an equally old person, and we say we don't want to call them, although we call her. You get what I mean? I don't want to go into the, you understand what I mean? Spiritual, I know. I know. Well, that is settled. If you know that spiritually, the conviction, you can't do it. Like I said, there may be times when in doing it, you are setting a precedence to others. I have already done. But many of the times, let's examine our heart that it's not pride. That's all I'm saying. That's all. Do we understand that? We don't want to be. Brother Bumi shows one example to us in this. I know you don't like being talked about in this regard, but I must. We can cite James, John, and everything, but we can cite Brother Bumi. Okay, I'm not going to go into space. I'm just going to tell you something. He's not a soft man to deal with. You know him. You all know that. You all know. If you put your hand in his mouth, he will bite you. You know that. But the way this man processes Jesus, if you want to get him, see, he makes an argument like no one else. You know that? You cannot go on him with an argument. Look, I've dealt with him for about 3 decades, I know. Right? But this is humility, brothers and sisters. If you confront this man with the word of Jesus, I've seen him melt away. That's the only thing he does not make an argument against. Over and over again. If you show him, if he cannot admit, he will say, "I'll go and study there. He will never get back to you." But he does. That is Christian humility. He's not. He said, "Look, no matter what they tell us to do in this church, as long as they do not tell us to disobey the word of God, let Christian fellowship continue." We must. I'm not going to say anything more about that. I pray that the Lord will teach us. There's a way Jesus works and processes humility. It's not gra-gra. It's not in argument. It's not in fight. It's in conviction. Be submissive to one another. Please, New Covenant Church, let there be no, "I am the boss, I am this." And God has helped us with that in this church. God approves it. Everywhere where they have put up structures, where some people think they must be beholden to, but they are beholden to nobody. I think Paul described, he said, don't call that wisdom. He said it's divisive. It's James, actually. He said that's earthly wisdom. Be submissive one to another. Don't be puffed up. You know, Brother Bumi said something about the ushers this morning. When Sister Folake and Sister Bukola, aka Buki, in the name of Jesus, if they say, "Come and sit here," it is not them talking, brothers and sisters. That is Jesus. I pray that in New Covenant Church, that will be our spirit. We know that the Lord is present here. Where the Lord is present, all of us must lose a sense of who we are. Nobody is too old or too young, too rich or too poor to be instructed by Jesus. And Jesus will not come in person. He will speak. Anyone that stands on this pulpit and declares the word of God speaks for God. Anybody that stands in children's church and declare God's word to, speaks on behalf of the, let's be very aware of how we conduct ourselves to those people. There are scriptures that deal with that. This is the character. This is what sets us apart. When God's word humbles us as a people. I pray, Lord, our expression of faith in our church will be in this, all of these characters. Did I say we should open somewhere? Well, okay. Close it. We are done. Faith, faithfulness. I pray we'll be known not by our confession, but by our actions. When they insult a new covenant church member, I pray that they will see that member behave like Jesus. Let's open to Isaiah chapter 53. Christian humility. Humility is not. Before you do that, can someone open to the book of Luke chapter 13 and read from verse 13? Someone projects Isaiah 53. Someone should please read from Luke 13, verse 32. Just to tell you that humility does not mean that you can't speak your mind or you can't speak the truth. I remember I read this passage, Luke passage, in college, and I was shocked. Together with Matthew 23, those two passages in the Bible about Jesus shocks me. Well, it no longer does, because now I understand what true humility is. Luke chapter 13, 32. What does it say?
People cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected.
Read the verse before then.
Okay. I lost it. Okay. No, I touched something and
And I just want to show us.
Okay. Luke chapter 13, verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, "Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee." 32. And he said unto them, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I will do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected."
Does that verse make sense to you? Who was talking here? Who was talking about who? Who was Herod? Yeah, he was king, though. He was king. And Jesus' spirit says we must obey and be subject to all authority. How many of you ever noticed that Jesus called someone a fox? Humility does, in the current day, humility does not call anybody. But Usman, you're awfully quiet. Do you imagine? Have you ever imagined that Jesus will be speaking and call one of his adversaries a fox? That's very flattering, I guess. A fox is a flattering word, right? It's an insult. Who was the most humble person that ever walked the surface of the earth? And yet, here he was. I'm not even going to go to Matthew 23. Broods of vipers, whitewashed sepulchres. Jesus used some words there. And I began to say, this humility thing must be deeper than just not being able to say anything no matter what. That's not what Christian humility is. I'm not even going to go to Paul. Go ahead. Yeah, the one that separated it to me, I did it. No, I mean how we define. You remember when you say a man is humble? But only is so humble, he doesn't talk. Yes, sister. Yes, sister. Yes, brother. Grandma. That's what we call humility. Paul wasn't like that. Jesus wasn't like that. I want to be like Jesus.
When you were saying that, some people move away from, the
I can't remember how you described it, into spiritual pride.
Oh, I totally forgot that train
and
of
so
thought.
I was trying
okay.
to distinguish
oh, I
both.
Thank you for bringing me back.
Yeah, but I don't totally... know if as believers we can really distinguish both. Because as Christians, I believe that everything we do, whether it's within the church, outside the church, it should all be one. I don't know. I'm not trying to confuse you, but I was trying to understand when you said some people go from, they leave this particular pride and go into spiritual.
I said, okay, let me just round that up real quick. Thank you. It's a good thing you reminded me. Here's what I mean. We all understand that as Christians, we should not boast about how many cars we drive, how many homes, what our degrees are. In fact, if you're in a social, secular gathering and you're so boastful, it's uncomely, right? Everybody knows that. So we develop the culture, the social grace not to be boastful, right? And many of us are able to do it, right? But come into Christianity, the same people who don't do that now boast about the numbers of congregation they have. They boast about the number of miracles they do. And they do not consider it as boasts because they are spirit. How many albums have sold, my singing sister? How many Grammys have won? In fact, you don't know it. They prop you up, introduce you as the latest, most brilliant person, Christian ministry, prosperous of... And you glory in those things, and you don't even know you're glorying until it is no longer about Jesus. Then you start finding yourself saying, my flock, my congregation. You never started. Did I just pick my nose? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. My flock, something was scratching me. All of this. You don't know. You must beware. It's deceptive. Satan, we surrender. Secular pride, the most conniving kind of pride. In fact, A.W. Tozer describes it this way. Said there are some of us that are prayer warriors, and you begin to pray for a revival, but secretly, you are praying God will be, you'll be the one that will be used for that revival. It's pride, but you will never consider it pride.
The posture. How about the, you know, within your heart, you know, you're not even aware.
I mean, the Lord revealed it. His nose is still scratching me, people. Yes. Yeah, and that's true. And that's why we're learning about the character. That's the one that, with Sister Tola, I wish, Mary Martha, and Kumbad about all things. Only one is necessary. The one that will not be taken from you. Thank you very much. thank you. Thank you. What you touched on is exactly why we, that's what I mean, the hidden ones. The hidden, but we can describe it. It haunts us. In fact, we're encouraged not to look at it. I've been to gatherings when they say all the men of God in this place should come forward and lay their hands. And proud, arrogant people, men and women. Thank you. They've started including you people. Congratulations. They never used to call women. Now they've started. You will have the opportunities now. Women of God. Works. Mugs. Emojis. W-O-Gs. It's pride. And then they will go forward and lay their hands. How about all those redeemed, those redeemed people in the pews who have not been given a collar? Are they not men of God? May the Lord deliver us from such spiritual pride. Does that answer your question? There should never be any such thing as Christian Grammy. Our Grammy is when the role is called up yonder. But do we not celebrate it? Do we not measure the success of our artists by how much the secular world approves of them? And we justify it because they are singing what? Christian songs. It's easy to say this one is secular, but it's the same price, the same motivation. Now we have Christian concerts. And we congratulated that. I'm just using those as an example. Same pride. When we seek fame in the name of Jesus, is it not pride? Huh? When we seek fame, nobody is answering me. In the name of Jesus, is it not pride? Many people regurgitate what Paul already plagiarized Paul and put their pictures at the back of the book, and they've sold 1 million copies, and on radio they are introducing them. Say the author, the Christian bestseller author. So let's call it what it is. It is pride. I'm generalizing now, please. Not all the time. Right? It is pride. That's what I mean by spiritual. Let's beware. Some of it is not. You get what I mean? Like I said, Brawale generalizes a lot. Pardon me. But it's so prevalent, it's almost true to generalize these days. The exemptions are there. Those who are doing it for the right reasons. And God lifts them up. But even when you see those, you see them, like when they try to lift Paul and Barnabas up, you see them doing what? Putting themselves down. So thank you, Sister Abiola. That's how I would, Sister Bolanle, anything that starts with B is Biola, please. Just so all you know, okay? Right, Sister Bolanle. That's how my heart would have deviated from that. But that's the main topic. Beware of pride. If they make you head usher, they have not promoted you. They have made you more of a servant. If they make you general overseer, Barabumi, you better be more of a servant than now. You should be crying. If you look in those days, remember ordination in those days. Was it filled with rejoicing and congratulations? They understood that they were being called to servitude. They will start shedding tears. You are not being promoted. You are being demoted in the flesh that you may be promoted in the spirit. Those things have changed the character. I'm going to close out this sermon. New Covenant Church. Sister Karen, are you okay? You're good? There are things that are true. There's a test to this Jesus. The eating of the pudding is in the tasting of the pudding, whatever it is, the other way. The tasting of Jesus is in the, okay, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. Make sure you're tasting Jesus. Don't be carried away by the slate of men. Go for the real thing. Character study. I use Brother Bumi as a character study. I always like to do that in the old, in the new. You know him. Biola once said to me, as we were leaving, when we set up for, I've said this example, after, I'm not saying it. I know you're uncomfortable, but I don't want to wait till you are dead if you go first before I say this thing. You don't worry, your own will come. And your own. Yeah, don't worry. But we must say, because if Brabumi is doing something not good, he will hear it from me. All right? But this is something I've learned, right? Said, in what church do you see a pastor going to buy food for people? We needed someone to go and get food when we were setting off of VBS. Who went to get food? Please, it's not common. Let's not take that for granted. That is Pauline. That's apostolic. That's Peterish. That's Jamish. That's scripture. It's not just the sermon. Those are the real sermons for me, personally. That's an example. That's his natural gift. We can talk about Brabumi's unnatural gift. Oh, you can't win an argument with him. That's one of it. So I just want to step down when I step up. Right? But, you know, those are things that's Christian humility. That is why this church has flourished. That's the foundation that this church has been built on, that humility. May it continue that way in Jesus' name. Adoniram Johnson, I first heard this story from the man, Ravi Zacharias. And he just told a story about this man. Let me make sure I'm rendering this. This man was the most popular missionary in America. Actually, he was one of the people that formed the first mission society in America a long time ago. Brilliant graduate of Brown University, author, in all the things of the flesh, brilliant. In fact, it was reputed that the party was going to could have easily become a senator of the United States, maybe possibly the president one day. That's how brilliant this man was. But he met with Jesus under a very extraordinary circumstance. This is in 1840 something. And they formed the first American Society for Missionaries or thereabout. And he set sail for the country of Myanmar, right? Preaching the gospel. He lost 3 wives. He buried about 4 children. Suffered tremendously. Brilliant man. He was in Myanmar for a long time, and he had no idea how popular he had become in the U.S. because all of the mission reports that people were sending had become bestsellers across the United States. He was away for about 30-something years, and a stretch never came home. Caught in a war between England and Myanmar, was a prisoner of war for many of these times. I told you, he buried one wife after the other, one child after the other, in the name of Jesus as Savior. He was the one that wrote the Bible in the Burmese language. There's still a church in his name there till today. Adoniram Judson, another book to read. To the Golden Shores, for those of you who are interested. Right? So he came home to rest. I mean, he just came home. After a long time, he was weak. He had lost his voice, his body shackled by imprisonment, by preaching. He got on a ship and he landed in New York, thinking that he would be unknown. The entire shore and deck around the Hudson was filled with people welcoming the hero. But by this time, his voice was hoarse. His work and his fame had spread all over America. He just wanted to come home and rest. His soul was still in Burma. But they had lined up a lot of teaching and preaching engagements for him. You know how we go from church to church and preach because we're good preachers, right? Or we do book promotion. Eh? He was shocked. He just wanted to sneak in. Everywhere he went, the Mission Society, all across the East Coast and to the West, they had appointments lined up. So there was a great church, I forget the name, in New York, and he was supposed to give his first speech. And he went there. First, someone got on the stage, gave his bow, the great man of God, everything he had accomplished, everything he had suffered, all of his suffering, people were weeping. People were weeping because he had become a great man, deservedly so. And then he stood up. They called him to speak. And he stood up and he began to preach about the cross of Jesus. And the way it was written, while he was preaching, some people left. They were disappointed. They wanted to hear about the fame of mission. They wanted to hear about his accomplishment. How did he interpret the Bible? How he dealt with the royalty in Mama back in those days. They wanted to hear the stories. They wanted to hear how he dealt with the death of his wives. How his faith stood as he buried one child after the other. Why he kept going despite the fact that it seemed as though his prayers were not being answered. They wanted to hear the stories that get us going. But the man spoke for 30 minutes about the manifold grace of Jesus, the same thing he was preaching before he left 30-something years. Then after the service, one of his friends, the board member, sidled up to him and went, you know, people kind of wanted to hear more from a great man who has been through so much for Jesus Christ. And his response, I hope I put it here, is why I chose to tell this story today. His response was this. That man said, people want to know what someone from the Antipodes, Antipodes is someone from the Far East, after so long we have to say. I said, now, this was his response. Now they know that someone from the Antipodes who has suffered so much has no greater story to tell than the story of Jesus and his cross. I don't know what you think you've accomplished in Jesus. If this story becomes about you, not about Jesus, that's pride. The man said, yeah, I know. But now they've gone home knowing that someone who has lost three wives, buried four children, interpreted the Bible into a strange language, suffered for Jesus through wars, has been shipwrecked, has no greater story to tell, even now, than the story of Jesus and his cross. Brothers and sisters, as we come to church and live every day, as we do our evangelism, as we accomplish or not accomplish, as we do, make sure that you are still where you started, with Jesus Christ as Savior. The true character of humility is that it's all about Jesus. May the Lord keep us and bless us this week. Let's be Christians indeed. Let's not forget where we started. This whole thing, he will reward us. The person you love, just remember, the reason you became a Christian is not to do VBS. Abi, is it to save the children in Hyattsville? You can never save a single child. Is it? Brabumi, did you come to America to form New Covenant Church? No, you came for MBA. I don't know what. Sister Kemi, did you come to Maryland to marry Bumi? No. Oh, it was medicine that brought you. And now medicine has disappointed you. Now the only story you have is Jesus. Sister Tola, did you become born again Christian to just build company? What brings us to church? Ah, I never call Buki. Bukola, did you come to Maryland to marry Femi? Actually, you did. Actually, you did. That one, you can't lie. I was there. I was there. No, what started this sweet story, this church sweet story for us was because we fell in love with the man Jesus. We have no higher story, even now, no matter what we've accomplished, than Jesus as Savior. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, washed of his spirit, in his blood. That's our story. Adeshola, Tish, Femio, Jesus, your best friend. When you people have children, when you get the jobs, when you can no longer play basketball, there's someone who will be constant in your soul. Jesus. There was once, I never played basketball. I played soccer the way you played basketball. I was young. I could run. My mind was sharp. I didn't forget my memory verses. The only thing, I've changed a great deal since then. But the person, the thing that has remained constant in me is Jesus. Never forget Jesus, New Covenant Church. The flavor of our church is Jesus. The character of our faith is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason we became born again. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, again. Please guide us, O Lord, through this tempestuous sea. Lead us, keep us, Lord, for we have no help but you. Please, Lord, let your truth lead us on. Our hearts, Lord, are no better than the hearts of others, except for that magic of grace in it. Help us, Father, to walk faithful, to think right. The forces against us are so great, so deceptive, so cunning, that it's so easy to derail. To just carry on and wait for our grave with the dire consequence of lack of faithfulness. I pray, Lord, that you help us to make every day count, to build one virtue, to add to our faith virtue. Brotherly kindness, love, patience. Keep us interested in heaven. Keep us, Lord, enamored by your cross and your story. Help us not to be so moved away from the simplicity of your gospel. Let our motivation come from within, from you, not from outside, Lord. Keep our souls. There'll be tempests and storms, Lord. Lord, we cannot navigate this on our own. Please keep us, Jesus. We never really did get to your Isaiah 53. You are a man of grief or sorrow, familiar with grief. I pray that the times of sorrow and grief will not take us away from you, Lord. That character that you had that made you prove your ministry and the Lord your God exalted your name above every, give it to us. Help us not to take the easy way. Please, Lord, intervene in our lives. We live in a dangerous culture, Lord. Let our faith not fail. Thank you for today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Can you pull up blessed assurance?